The 2024 Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge is a great way to teach children and youth between 7 and 17 to lead a life that honors God. Just have them write a 3 to 5 minute speech on the topic, "Why are the Ten Commandments important?" Then use your cell phone or other means to record them reading the speech and submit it by June 30th. Find out all the details and upload your recording at afr.net/10commandments. That's afr.net/10commandments.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Tuesday, June the 25th, 2024. Thank you for listening to AFR. Tim Wildman here, and I'll go in reverse order today. Our good friend Ray Pritchard is in Kansas City, Kansas. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, man, it's scorching hot here in the Midwest. Yeah. Scorching hot. I'm fine. I'm in the basement. It's right. Cool down here, but I don't want to go outside, right. Tim.
What is it, like 95 today or something like that?
Going up to 99, they say, and heat index up into triple digits.
Do you skip riding your bike on a day like that, right?
Yesterday morning, I rode and I did about 14 miles, and it was a close call there at the end. Let's say it that way.
Oh, so you're getting up before it gets really, really hot.
Yeah. The afternoon, you just can't do it.
Forget about it, huh? They find bikers on the side of the road.
That's exactly right.
All right, Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning, and I want to be the first to say congratulations to all the Tennessee fans out there who won Tennessee, the college there. They won the national.
Well, they're a university, they would say.
Yeah, that's right. University of Tennessee. Yeah.
University of Tennessee Volunteers won the baseball national championship.
That's right. Last night, they went to it's a best of three, and they went to the final game and came down to the final couple plays there. So, obviously, they were the two best teams, and they played really good baseball. Even as I wasn't a fan of either one in particular, meaning that I follow Mississippi State. However, it was really fun to watch. And two very good coaches and two very good teams.
Yeah, Texas A&M, 6-5. Tennessee beat Texas A&M by one run. And Chris Woodward, good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And then had the too bad Fred and Ed aren't here because had the Stanley Cup championship game last night. I watched the end of that, the Florida Panthers. I'm not for a bunch of passing new laws, but I think a new law forbidding a Florida team from winning the Stanley Cup would probably be apropos.
It's just wrong. Yeah. It's just
they beat
wrong.
A team from Canada.
Florida and ice hockey just do not go together. I'm sorry. No. But, they beat a team from Canada. I mean, something's wrong with this world when that happens.
And if you're going to – while mascot is a panther, why not one like a polar bear? If you're going to do it, they're going to offset it.
The Florida polar bears.
I just wish Miami's professional football team would actually be good and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's your team, isn't it, Chris?
I'm starting to wonder. Yes, the Marlins have won championships in my lifetime. The Florida Panthers have now won. The Miami Heat were good for a hot minute, and I'm not old enough to remember the glory days of the Miami Dolphins.
But you're going to stick with them.
Yes, because I don't want to be that guy the day after the Super Bowl walking through the mall with the team hat on going, I've been with them the whole time. There's always that guy.
I know, right? So, all right. Well, listen, thus concludes college baseball and the –
There's a pretty good gap now.
And hockey.
But, I mean, there's pretty much a no man's land of sports for the next
– Yes. It's
a month and a half or two until football.
Until football starts. So. That's right. But we do have political sports, Wesley.
Well, listen, if you wanted to fast from sports, now's the time to do it.
Oh, you mean when there's nothing to eat? It's a good time to fast? Yes, that's right. All right, so anyway, Ray, traveling? What do you got coming up? Or where
just
you been?
Got back from a week in Oregon up there on the Pacific Coast. Where had a great week of teaching the Bible at Cannon Beach Conference Center. And speaking of the weather up there, it never got above 66 or 67 at any time last week. It was so nice. Up on the beach and now back in the broiler. So we're here for 3 weeks and then we're off to North Carolina, and then New York, and then Montana and New Jersey for about 3 weeks in July and August.
What's your subject matter?
Well, in North Carolina, I'm going to be preaching at the Shepherd's Church in Cary, North Carolina on July the 14th on the lawyer who wanted a loophole from Luke chapter 10, and then at Word of Life up in New York, and then America's Keswick in New Jersey, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 13, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. So I'm looking forward to getting into God's Word with a lot of great people from around the country.
Now, there are like 12 Christians in New Jersey, right?
And all of them are going to be at America's Keswick that week, right? No, that's a deep blue state politically. And, right. They're actually, surprised, the evangelical movement is quite strong in New Jersey and up in Newark and in New York. Hispanic, a lot of great Hispanic evangelical churches up in that part of the country. And mm-hmm. those are the folks who come out to these Bible conferences.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wish you the best, safe travels, and God bless your ministry there as you teach the Bible to those Christians across the country. Dr. Frank Turek will be with us, by the way, in a few moments. Chris, is there one story leading the news this morning?
Yes. If you happen to live in South Florida or maybe even as far west as southern Texas, you might see a little bit of dust in the air in the coming days. And I say that because, and I'll share the link here, scientists have revealed that a large amount of dust from the Saharan Desert is set to drift 5,000 miles over the Atlantic toward the U.S. this week. The enormous plume was formed by strong winds sweeping tiny sand and mineral particles off the surface of the Sahara, and the current wave is the largest of the season. Scientists are predicting the Sahara dust will reach the coast of South Florida and the Gulf of Mexico, extending up towards southern Texas by this weekend. It's already hot in Texas. Now it's about to get dusty. You're about to get seasoned if you go outside and bake.
Well, yeah, that sounds crazy, Ray. That dust could come across the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, it's traveling thousands of miles. It's, the wind is blowing that dust up, and then it gets caught up in the jet stream, and it comes across. And I did read an article that said, and it's just an interesting thought to me, that the dust, as it comes across the ocean, it actually has the impact. It settles down some of those cloud systems, so they are, when the dust is coming across, it's less likely that a hurricane is going to break out. So there you go. And if you ask me anything else about that, it's literally all I know.
You're saying that dust will arrive sometime when?
South Florida and southern Texas by the weekend.
Okay. And when you say dust, we're talking about like you walk in a house that's being built and you see dust on the floor, you sweep it up, yeah. kind of mm-hmm. dust.
Yeah, the image that they have shared.
Is it sand?
Yes.
That's what I'm, okay.
Basically, yeah. The image that they included with the story, which is based on a model, looks like basically the shape of Texas floating across the ocean towards the U.S.
Yeah, that's going to be, crazy, wild to see if you're actually able to see, like we here where we live are able to see this.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. It looks like a horror movie type image, like The Dust by Stephen King.
Now, were there...
But it's dust / sand mm-hmm. coming across all the way across the...
Where does it stop? Does it plan on settling anywhere, or is it just going to keep passing through and grab...
Well, housing market's crazy in America. I think it'll just pass us and go on right on to... Probably China or something. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I don't think it wants to settle here. No, that was a lame joke, but I had to come up with something quick.
When you have to pull them from the hips, it's hit or miss.
Right, it's hit or 50-50, and you're going with it live in real time.
That's,
you know,
it, yeah.
And then when your joke bombs, it bombs. and so you just move on, right?
That's right. You just move on.
To the next bomb. Listen, this is, we'll see what happens, but that's... We'll see if we're able to actually see this, mm-hmm. but they're saying South Florida and Texas, and by the weekend, it will be up on North America, this cloud of dust and sand that's coming across.
I'm seeing anywhere from 25 on a low end up to 55 miles an hour, so that's interesting.
What?
Yeah.
You mean winds?
Mm-hmm.
From this storm?
Yeah, from the dust.
Okay. Well, you know, that is the same path that hurricanes take.
Mm-hmm.
That coming off the west coast of Africa, and then they come across the Atlantic, and then they hit the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Then, I mean, that's just the rinse and repeat path of hurricanes. So we'll see what happens with this dust storm. All right, joining us now is our good friend Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examined Ministries out of North Carolina. Frank has a radio show that airs each weekend right here on AFR. It's called Cross Examined, and it airs 9 o'clock Central Time on Saturday mornings and Sunday afternoons at 4 o'clock Central Time here on AFR. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. Hey, gentlemen, did I hear that Christopher's hockey team won? Did I hear that?
Yeah, I don't.
No, he didn't have a hockey.
I don't have a hockey team except when I'm in trouble with Fred.
Oh,
it's Fred.
Okay. And then it's game on, Gretzky, or whatever that guy's name is.
That's Gretzky's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, just like
update your phony.
Hey, he's the great one, though.
Yeah.
So
it was like, as Rodney Dangerfield said, no respect at all.
That's right.
I went to a fight the other night and a hockey game broke out.
That's it.
All right. So where are you traveling? Where you been recently?
Oh, I've been in several places recently. Detroit, which is a good place to be from, by the way. I've been to Atlanta, Denver, and California. But next week, we're going up to the Camp of the Woods in New York. You guys know about that Christian camp up there in the Adirondacks called Camp of the Woods?
Right.
I do. That's a beautiful place. Speculator, New York, right?
Exactly, Ray. It's beautiful. We're going up there for a whole week and be doing some teaching up there, but also bringing the entire family. It's a great family camp. Anybody that's wants to have a great Christian camp to bring your family, check out campofthewoods.org. It's amazing.
Where is it? Like central New York or where?
It is about an hour and 40 minutes kind of north of Albany. It's up in the Adirondack Mountains on Lake Pleasant. So you fly to Albany and you go north an hour and 40 minutes and you're there.
Mount Pleasant. That sounds so nice.
Lake Pleasant. Yeah.
Oh, Lake Pleasant. I think I want to go there.
Yeah, it's pleasant.
Okay, so Frank, we came up with a topic for you, topic for you today. You ready for it?
Hit me.
Just an easy one, like, does God change his mind?
Of course. My wife changes her mind all the time.
Oh, ba-da-boom, ba-da-boom. Okay.
See what she did there.
Is she listening?
All right.
Isn't that true, Tim? Does Allison change her mind?
Yes, and it's perfectly fine with me.
That's right.
I have no feelings one way or the other about how you change your mind.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you don't get into a discussion with your wife and say, but you just said.
That never works.
No. Uh-huh. Seriously, you did a podcast, you did a article on this subject, and maybe more than one, Frank, in the Bible, do we see where God actually changes his mind about something? Or what are the circumstances there?
Well, yeah, there is a place where Moses prays to God after God sees, of course, that the Israelites at Mount Sinai are worshiping the golden calf. And he prays and says, please relent, don't destroy Israel. And it appears that God changes his mind as a result of Moses' prayer. So people will say, well, look, God changes his mind. And think of what we need to remember is that the Bible is written from an observational perspective. It's written from how we see things. We pray, and then God does something, and we say, oh, we changed God's mind. But that's technically not how things work. God always knew that Moses would pray, and he always knew he would relent. It's not God changing. It's really us changing. And maybe an illustration of that would be helpful. If you're, say, on a bicycle and you're you're riding against the wind. You say the wind is against you. But then when you turn around and the wind is behind you, you say the wind is for you. But who changed? You or the wind? The wind hasn't changed. You've changed. And so God doesn't change his mind. When we pray, God, since he's outside of time, knows the end from the beginning. He always knew what we would do. And since we did pray, in this case, Moses praying, God relented from destroying Israel. If Moses hadn't have prayed, perhaps God would have destroyed Israel, but God always knew Moses would.
Well, I just know that once you brought in the bike analogy, you lost Ray. Ray didn't want to hear that.
Why's that, Ray?
Listen, hey, Frank, let me ask a follow-up here, because I think this is actually, I think, a hugely important topic you're talking about. So somebody hears what you just said. Okay, God is, he exists outside of time, which is hard for us even to understand or imagine. If God has everything already decreed, already understood, already done, why pray at all if God's going to do what God's going to do? How would you answer that?
Because part of what God is going to do is dependent upon what we do. Just because he knows what we're going to do doesn't mean he's causing us to do it. Just like if people were to go back and watch the hockey game last night because they had it recorded. Let's say you know the score. It was 2-1, the Panthers, I think, right? But you go back and you watch it because you DVR'd it. As you're watching that game, you already know the outcome. However, does that mean the players on the ice aren't freely doing what they're doing? No, they're still freely doing what they're doing. You just know because the game has already been played from your perspective. You just know what they're going to do. So just because God knows what we're going to do doesn't mean he's causing us to do it. Any more than I might know the sun's going to rise in the east tomorrow, but I'm not causing it to rise in the east. Just because I know it's going to rise in the east doesn't mean I'm causing it. So I think the biggest mistake people make, Ray, when they get into issues of predestination and free will, they seem to think that because God knows what we're going to do, we don't have free choice. That's not the case. He just knows what we're freely going to do.
By the way, nobody caught my joke. I was kidding. Because
you want to break it down for us?
Well, Ray has had his share of bike accidents.
Yes, he has.
No doubt.
And he would admit that by his own free will.
That's right. Yes, he would. Yes. Hey, I got a question for us, Dr. Frank. So then what would be a couple primary reasons for praying? Well, what can we expect from our prayers? Obviously, you mentioned one, and that's one of the things that I came to the same conclusion when I began to study the topic, and that's that prayer often is to change our perspective, to change our heart, to change our minds, to get us more in sync with what God would have, and that's been the primary reason for me that I've taken away during my prayer time. But I'm guessing there's some other things, maybe?
Well, no, in fact, my mentor, Dr. Norman Geiser, used to say this, that prayer is not primarily a means by which we get our will done in heaven, Amen. But the means by which God gets his will done on earth. Mm. In other words, he gives us the dignity of causality. God gives us the dignity of affecting time and eternity through our prayers. Mm. When we do that, a lot of times God doesn't give us what we want. Why? Because he knows better than we do, right? I mean, Garth Brooks has that old song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayer. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times do you look back on your life and you go, man, I prayed for X, Y, and Z. I'm sure glad God didn't give me X, Y, and Z now that I look back on it.
Sure. Yeah.
So part of it is God giving us the dignity of causality. Secondly, it changes us. It doesn't change God. It changes us. It makes us more dependent on him. In fact, I remember reading a book many years ago by Philip Yancey. I think it was called Disappointment with God. And when he was going through all of these instances of people praying and they're not getting the answer they want Yancey ultimately concluded that one of the things God wants from us is dependence on him. Not independence, but dependence. And we're supposed to pray for his will, not merely our own. Jesus is our best example of that, right? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane going, Lord, if there's any other way that this cup could pass from me, please let it be so. But if not, not my will, but your will.
Mm-hmm. My final question here is, So what are some examples that come to mind about examples of prayers or actual prayers in Scripture?
Well, of course, the most famous is Jesus telling us how to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. And then another great prayer, of course, is Jesus praying for us to the Father in John 17 when he says, now this is eternal life, that they, meaning us because he's praying for us, that they may know you, God the Father, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. In other words, notice he's saying eternal life is not just endless time. Eternal life is a quality more than a quantity. It's to know God and to then therefore also to make him known. That's the Great Commission. But John 17:3 says eternal life is to know God, not just intellectually, not just know that God exists, but to know him personally through Jesus Christ. So those are two great prayers. I'd love to hear Ray's perspective on this. Ray, what do you think about the purpose and the effect of prayer?
It seems to me, Frank, you've covered it very, very well. It seems to me that one part of this is that God has ordained that our prayers make a difference. Mm-hmm. God has said, you're not wasting your time when you pray. There are people out there, Frank, I'm thinking about some of our listeners who they've got sick children. They've got a loved one with cancer, and they are praying fervently to the Lord that the chemotherapy would work, that the radiation would work, that their child who is sick would be healed. And I think we can confidently say to people, and Frank, I want to hear your comments on this. We can
say nobody cares
prayer.
What I have to say. That's okay, though.
But Tim, we want Tim, you too.
Well, that's because he's written so much on this. We can just go read his writing.
Go ahead.
I'm just kidding.
I'm here, though, in case you
don't. I just want to say, Frank, we want to say to people who are praying, there are people, many of our listeners, probably all of them, have things on their heart that they're lifting up before the Lord. I want to say you're not wasting your time because God has ordained your prayers are part of his plan as he rules the universe, and things happen because you pray that wouldn't happen if you didn't pray, because it was always part of God's plan.
That's right. And I'm also praying for Tim right now.
And my attitude?
That's it.
Well, maybe. I don't know, Tim. Yeah. Has anybody prayed for you lately?
I hope so.
We need to.
Yes. We've got to take a break right here. I think it's time to take a break.
It's a good time right here.
No way. We're not taking a break, Tim.
Well, I'm come back after the break. Going to finish this topic up.
Okay. Fair enough.
But I can't. I got to go.
All right. We'll see you later. Bye.
Hey, you're leaving me.
You're leaving me.
Everybody needs to pray for Tim Wildman, the great leader of the American Family Association.
Hallelujah.
Very important ministry, ladies and gentlemen.
You have to go? You have to leave us now?
I do.
You're doing this because it's God's will or because it's your choice?
I'll pray about it.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. See ya. Bye. Have a good day.
Right, thanks, guys.
Enjoyed it.
That's Frank Turek. Join him on the weekends, 9 o'clock Central Time on Saturday morning, 9 o'clock Central Time. Great show, cross-examined, right here on the American Family Radio Network. We'll be back momentarily with more of Today's Issues. Stay with us.
This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. But did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. If you want to join us on the internet, we live video stream this show at stream.afa.net. Stream.afa.net. Live video streaming there. Most of our shows here on American Family Radio. And then also we're at Facebook. Just type in Today's Issues. YouTube, we're Today's Issues Live. Search for Today's Issues Live on YouTube. And then we're on X, formerly known as Twitter. Mm-hmm. So variety of different ways you can engage this show and listen and watch American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman, Chris Woodward, and Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City. We three are in Tupelo, Mississippi, and we thank you, wherever you may be listening to AFR. Back to this topic for just a moment. We were discussing with Dr. Frank Turek, who, quote, had to leave, end quote. We were talking about basically prayer, and we were talking about, the free will and God's will, mm-hmm. free will of man and God's providential will. And have I basically got the topic subject
you
matter
got,
right?
Okay. You okay, got it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say, and you can drive yourself crazy. Mm-hmm. If you think about this 24/7,
right.
You're just like a cat chasing its tail in many ways.
You're right.
I think we all know what I'm talking about here. But I'm not trying to demean doctrinal study here by saying it that way. But I just want to say this, that there's an old expression, control what you can control. All right. And so I would just say that God gives us free will to determine and control a lot of facets of our life. And he grants us that free will. Mm-hmm. Y'all correct me if I...
No, you good. Finished.
Keep
okay.
I'll ask. If I get something, I don't want to say anything heretical
sure.
here. But
so,
okay.
So far, you're good.
Okay. Well, I'll stop right there.
No.
But so... If God didn't give us free will, we'd be robots.
Right. Sure.
All right. God gave Adam and Eve free will. And he gives men and women free will to make decisions in their lives that affect their lives. Those are things you get up every morning, for those who live in freedom. Now, for those who live in totalitarian states, they're beaten or they're enslaved or they're told what to do. Because they don't necessarily always have the freedom to choose things as we do here. Does that make sense?
Right.
However, we can make decisions
authentic love requires authentic choice.
Yeah, we're not robots. Okay, God gives us a choice to receive or reject, to obey or to disobey. Oftentimes, and that's decisions you make every minute, every hour of every day. And especially for the Christian, am I going to submit my life to the Lord today or am I going to rebel? Mm-hmm. Either in my heart, my mind, or my words, or am I going to try to live a holy, righteous life, right? So so those are the things we can control, and that's a lot of our life. And then there are things completely out of our control, which Ray, we have, that's in God's hands, and God doesn't do what we want. What we think is justice oftentimes. in those matters. But those are things we can't fully and completely understand because we're human. The Bible says we see, we don't see clearly right now. But anyway, is that?
Yes.
Am I on track there?
No, you're very much on track. The only thought that came to my mind while you were talking is we have the stuff we can control. The older I get, the more I understand there's not much that I truly control.
Right.
And one mark of growing up in this world is to realize how much of what goes on around me is completely out of my control. I think that's where prayer comes in, that we pray because he's God and we're not.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you can control your attitude.
Sure.
You can control your I mean, you're right. Things are out of our control. Even our health. Sometimes you do what you're going through.
Right.
Look, there's a lot of our listeners dealing with cancer. Either you've got it,
right.
You've had it, you're worried is it going to come back, or more likely you've got someone you know, love and care about who's in the cancer battle right now. At a certain point, and I've had to face this myself going through the treatment, in the end, the most basic prayer of life is the one that Frank mentioned. Nevertheless, Lord, this is my prayer. Let this cup pass from me. But if not, Lord, not my will, but thine be done.
Right.
That, I think, is a prayer brings us back to the place where we say, Lord, mm-hmm. I'm praying this with all of my heart. Nevertheless, Lord, I see through, you were mentioning that phrase or the verse, see through a glass darkly. I think of it this way. We look through a little keyhole and we think we see the whole thing. Only God sees the big picture of life. And when we pray, we're confessing, Lord, this is what I see. And therefore, this is what I'm praying for. But Lord, I'm asking you to do in this situation what you believe is best and is according to your will. Let your will be done. And sometimes I've even prayed this way, Tim. Lord, let your will be done, even if my will is not done. Lord, let your agenda go forward, even if my agenda needs to get canceled. I find it very freeing to say that to the Lord.
Did you? A couple things. So the phrase that I use often, it comes from Facing the Giants, the head coach there. For those
you mean the movie?
The movie, Facing the Giants. He said the coach in Facing the Giants, which is a Christian film about a coach, for those that don't know, a coach who begins to use the scriptures in his Christian faith.
The Kendrick brothers in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Movie.
To influence how he coaches. One of the phrases he used often that I use as well, both in my personal life but also in my coaching life, and he says to do your very best and leave the results up to God. So do your very best, leave the results up to
that
God.
Sounds like something Don Wildman would say.
I know, right? Do your very best, leave the results up to God. Also, too, just for kicks and gigs, for those that are wondering, I've written about a 900-word article on this.
We also posted on our Today's Issues Facebook.
What's the head?
On this very topic. God's
did you write this?
God's most freeing choice. I wrote it in 2022. Now, what's interesting is that, or I say interesting, what's going to offend
you're a theologian now, are you?
What's going to offend some people?
I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. I'm proud
of you, son.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know if that's an insulting I'm proud of you.
No, I'm proud of your theologian.
Nonetheless, I've written what I was going to get at. I was going to make fun of myself, but you beat me to it. Okay. I was going to make fun of myself and say that I'm going to offend some people who are theologians because they've written books and books and spent hours and hours on their podcast. What the angle I took was from a layperson's perspective, and I hit the highlights of what I thought would be the least constructive, the most helpful to begin the conversation of what the Bible would say about this topic. So obviously, in 900 words, we did not complete the task, but we begin the topic, and I brought to light a handful of scriptures that I thought were helpful as you begin this study. But to your point, Dad, you do have to be careful as you study this or any other topic that you wouldn't go beyond the scriptures, because there are some things that we just don't know.
Well, you know, all through the Bible we see where God lets people, individuals choose Right. They choose one way, one path or another.
Yeah.
One way or another, choose ye.
This day you will serve.
Yeah. So all through the Bible. Now, does God have a overarching providential plan for the human race and earth and everything? Yes, absolutely. But he's counting on us to do what we can to follow his authority.
A lot of people often, unbelievers and people that have issues with God for whatever it may be, a lot of people talk about how he's not fair or he's not really just. If you have the ability to do as you please, that God is fair. Like giving free will to your creation is fair. And I think that's one of the things often overlooked. I really appreciate what Ray said about thy will. There's a big difference between like Satan saying, I will, I will, I will, and Jesus instructing us in more than one place in Scripture talking about thy will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just we'll move on from this topic, but volumes have been written over the ages on some of the things we're talking about. But as Ray said too earlier, and I'd mentioned, we are responsible for the things that we can control, and that our will, our actions, our thoughts, our deeds, all those things. We're accountable to God for those things. But then there's a million things, as Ray said, that happen that we don't have any control over. Right. We suffer the consequences, sometimes tragic, of decisions we make or others make, or the laws of nature. You know, the laws of nature, Ray, which God doesn't intervene on very often, and when He does, it's called a miracle. So, go ahead.
Hey, let me give you my. This is the passage from the Bible that most encourages me about prayer, and there are so many, but this is the one. And when Frank was talking, this came to my mind. This is the Sermon on the Mount. It's the two verses just before the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. And Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not babble on like the pagans." And Greek, it's batalageo. It means the pagans thought if they could go ba da 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 ba 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 ba, they thought if just by saying nonsense words and repeating it over and over again, their God would hear them. And Jesus says, no, don't babble on like that. For they, the pagans, think that by their many words they will be heard. Don't be like them. And here it is, guys. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. I'm really happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
We do not pray to give God information that He does not otherwise have.
Yep.
Okay, thank God. Amen. He knows. He knows what we need before we pray. We pray to express our dependence. We pray because we're in desperate trouble. If God doesn't help us, we are sunk. We pray because He's God and we're not. So I hang on to that. I don't have to pray a long time. What's the most, sometimes the most basic prayer is, Lord, have mercy, or Jesus, have mercy, or, oh, God, help. If I pray like that, God can fill in all.
Yeah, the Lord's prayer is not long.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You know, absolutely.
Or Wesley, the article you wrote that you're referencing, have we posted it?
It is. It is both up on our Facebook page itself, and it's also in the comments for this program that you're listening to.
One sentence from the article that I concluded from reading Scripture is that God gives us the free will to refuse Him so that we also have the delight in accepting Him. So, I'd encourage everyone to find different books from different theologians and different authors on this topic, as it helps you come to a point of confidence that God's Word is sufficient. God's Word is all that we need.
Amen.
And also, too, in my pursuit on this topic, it's always interesting the handful of places in Scripture where it says that God has given us all the information that we need. I'm paraphrasing, but we don't have all. There's still a bajillion questions that we'll look forward to asking God once we get to heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, and the hardest questions in life really are the age-old, why do bad things happen to good people?
Sure. Yeah, oh, yeah.
And, you know, there are no satisfactory answers to those questions oftentimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
but we just have to trust God and trust His word and see that.
No, it's in that too. Be obedient. Be obedient to what He asks us to do to the best of our ability.
Amen. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Okay, as we've soared in the world of the Bible and theology, now Chris is going to bring us back down to the carnal man.
And the world of
American politics.
Yes.
Okay. What do you back to the news desk?
Well, while many Republicans are running for office, federal, state, and local, on the issues of things like inflation and immigration, Democrats, including Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, are putting all their money, so to speak, behind the issue of abortion. And I read from this a little bit yesterday, and I shared it just a moment ago on our Facebook page. The Biden-Harris campaign put out a lengthy statement yesterday. I'm not going to read all of it. But it was meant to coincide with the second anniversary of the Supreme Court ruling in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, a.k.a. the case that overturned
Roe v.
Wade.
Dobbs decision.
Yes. The Biden-Harris campaign began by saying this: 2 years ago today, Donald Trump's Supreme Court majority ripped away the fundamental freedom for women to access the health care they need and deserve. They went on to say Donald Trump is the sole person responsible for this nightmare. And they went on to say, we won't stop until we restore the protections of Roe v. Wade for every woman in every state. I got some reaction to this from Carol Tobias. She is the head of National Right to Life. And listen what she has to say about how far left Democrats, including Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, have gone when it comes to the issue of abortion. Clip 8.
What struck me in this statement, and I have been noticing that for the abortion industry at large, is that they no longer talk about choice. It used to be the pro-choice movement that women should be able to have choices. That has disappeared. They are now talking that women need to have abortions. They don't want choice. They're trying to shut down the pregnancy resource centers. They're trying to block them from search engines so women can't find them when they are looking for help with an unexpected or an unplanned pregnancy. They don't want abortion pill reversal. A woman is not supposed to change her mind after taking the abortion pill and then trying to reverse the process so she can save her baby. The abortion industry and, you know, being led by the Biden-Harris administration is no longer or is not pro-choice.
Now, Joe Biden says and has said as much several times that his Catholic faith drives his politics. But one Catholic who disagrees with Joe Biden is Catholic Meg Kilgannon of Family Research Council, frequent guest on Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. We use her. She's a great asset to all matters of education and faith. She had this to say about Biden and his Catholicism driving his views on abortion. Clip 7.
I have to say that as a Catholic, to have a Catholic president of the United States overseeing this kind of campaign, putting all of his effort into riding this issue to a victory, what he thinks will be a victory in the fall on the lives of unborn babies in the womb, it is just horribly offensive to me as a Catholic, as a woman, as a human being, as a person who loves life. Now, this is a really, really scandalous situation.
Sorry for speaking over there. Wesley may not remember this. I vaguely do. But Bill Clinton was known in the 90s for saying things like safe, legal, and rare. Right. And now it's literally up until and after the point of birth.
Yeah, we've come a long ways, especially on this issue. And they've ramped it up ever since we, meaning the pro-life movement, has helped overturn Roe versus Wade. Yeah. They've ramped up.
The Democrat almost all Democrats are pro-abortion. They would call themselves pro-choice, but as she just said, they're just pushing this.
They're wanting to eliminate choices.
Yeah. So I would say this, this is a, all the reversal of Roe versus Wade did was return the regulation of abortion to the states.
Right. Which is original.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Back to work.
So each state now sets its own laws reflecting the will of the people in those states. So there's nothing compulsory here. There's nothing that, quote, denies women their rights. if your people, if women are, quote, denied their rights to abortion, it's because the people in the states that they live in have decided to regulate abortion as it has been all through the American history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit further, though. I do believe there are obviously individuals and some states that are all in on the abortion from a majority standpoint.
Yeah,
however,
Illinois.
However, there are a couple of states that have been, in my personal opinion, deceived on the abortion bills as they were presented. So I just hate to represent. There's some of these states that have voted in favor since it's been going since the issue has now gone back to the states. Some of these states that are red that have in many ways push for overturning Roe versus Wade that are pro-life, they have passed several bad, terrible bills, to say the least.
Well,
and I think they were
statewide referendums.
Yes.
But they've been like in Ohio. And
Oklahoma.
And Kansas.
Well, not Oklahoma. Kansas.
Kansas, yeah.
Kansas?
Yeah, that really don't seemingly reflect the will of the people. But
That's the point. I know there's a very complicated way of saying it, but I wanted to include that when you mentioned about the will of the people. They've been deceived.
Look, Kansas is essentially a red state.
Right.
We're going to vote Republican in 2024. There's no doubt about that. And essentially, there's a big pro-life movement here in the state. But Wesley, when it came to the referendum, the other side obfuscated, outspent us probably 4-1, 5-1, played the propaganda card, and the wrong side won here in Kansas. Same thing happened up there in Montana. Hey, you know, it's going to be interesting. I'm throwing something here. We haven't talked about the debate yet coming up on Thursday night. What will Donald Trump do? Because don't you know, abortion is going to come up on Thursday night because the Democrats have decided that abortion, they think, is a winning issue.
Yeah.
I wonder what Trump is going to say because they're going to try to back him into a corner on this.
My opinion on this is, we were talking about this yesterday here at the office. Trump should respond to that by saying this. Listen, my appointments to the Supreme Court return the abortion question to the states like where it should be decided. And that's all it did. And the overturning of Roe did not, quote, outlaw abortion across the land, end of quote, like some on the left would say. And he needs to say, I was a pro-life president, and I'll be a pro-life president again. Next question.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is how he should do it. Listen, what he doesn't need to do, and I'm afraid he's going to do it, because sometimes Trump can't keep his mouth shut. And all God's people said, amen. That's when he gets into trouble sometimes.
Right.
We all know this. I'm not saying anything that's shocking people, but if he starts in with, I'm going to advocate for like a 15-week abortion rule.
Which he has said before.
Law, and I'm going to make everybody happy. And it's going to make everybody happy. He's done that kind of stuff before in the last few months.
I've heard him say it.
And I'm going, no, stop that. Stop that. All you need to say is I'm pro-life. The decision the Supreme Court made, return the abortion regulations to the states, to the voters in those states, and that's how
they did the right thing.
And that's how it should be. I'm a pro-life president. Next question. That's all he needs to say.
Yeah.
I hope that's what it'll stick with. Ray, anything?
Short and sweet. Biden is gonna. Biden's gonna bait him, right? Joe Biden
and the other people and the
that's right.
Moderators.
The moderators.
Fake tapper.
They're going
Donald Trump
to.
Would
they're
say.
Going to. So I hope. I'm sure
short and sweet. Short and sweet.
Yes.
Right?
Short. Don't keep rambling. Don't talk about a 15-week. And what he's talking about there is a congressional, national 15-week prohibition. And don't say I'm going to make everybody happy. No. Just say what I said and keep it short and sweet, as you said, and move on to the next topic.
He talked a little bit about the 15-week idea at the Pray Vote Stand Summit in September of last year. Packed room, Everybody was excited.
Well, and to his defense, I think what he's talking about is something in addition to the states.
Yes.
Being able to regulate. He's talking about a 15-week rule where in so much as the federal government is involved in, like, funding Planned Parenthood. But let me tell you something. The way that Congress is today, you're not going to get that through, I don't think.
No. So. And another thing that's just lost in this conversation, because it's fairly new, I say fairly new, in the last 5 years, and it's amped up even more since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and that's the medical or the pill. I'm using layman's terms here. The pill abortion.
Yeah.
The abortion pill.
The abortion pill. That right there, and its legal ramifications, and it being able to cross state lines and be mailed, and that
I don't see how you control that.
That's the point. So you're going to put that. You're going to put yourself in all types of unless you have Ron DeSantis type, where you got your ducks in a row,
Governor of Florida,
on this issue. And there's others that have their ducks in a row. They have thought through every possible angle. Unless you have done that, you need to be. This is more of a mind bomb, a minefield than it is.
That's why helpful. To raise advice to Trump is keep it short and sweet. Answer like I said and move on.
Yeah, and and just highlight what he did do when he was in president for the life issue. I mean, he was the first and only president to go speak at March for Life.
He doesn't need to apologize for that.
No, yes, and don't apologize.
Don't apologize for it. So what are we, 48 hours from, about 48 hours from the debate?
Yes, and we do, if the Lord tarries, plan on being here with coverage Thursday night on the radio.
Oh, nice.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris Woodward, has been with us this hour, and Steve Paisley Jordahl will fill in that seat that Chris is sitting in. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.